Tonight's message is the Prince of Peace. You know, we're exactly 2 weeks away from Christmas Eve, and I personally love the Christmas season. I love the lights, looking at the lights on trees, on people's homes. We're exactly 2 weeks away from Christmas Eve, and I personally love the Christmas season. I love the lights, looking at the lights on trees, on people's homes. How many here like that? Yeah. I like going and seeing lights in the parks. I like family time. I like the time with friends. I like the good food. I enjoy watching good Christmas movies. I just love the Christmas season, and hopefully you do too. You know, but beyond the external beauty of Christmas, we believers in Jesus Christ should know firmly that the true reason for the season is celebrating the birth of Jesus in a stable in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. You know, Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament had a prophecy, a beautiful prophecy concerning the birth of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9. And in the first verses of Isaiah chapter 9, it's like Galilee, this northern portion of Israel, was in a time of darkness, but there was a great light coming forth. And this sun that he prophesies about in Isaiah 9:6 is that great light. It's a beautiful prophecy with beautiful descriptors of Jesus Christ. And Matthew also refers to this in Matthew 4, verses 14 through 16. So tonight we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And it writes this: "For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And tonight we're going to look at this last part of the prophecy. He will be called the Prince of Peace. I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Peace. Now, how did this baby born in a stable in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago bring peace? There's several ways that he brought and brings peace. Jesus came to bring peace with God. Peace with God. Remember back to the Garden of Eden. God had fellowship with his creation, with Adam and Eve. It says in Genesis 3:8 that he was walked in the garden in the cool of the day, which signifies that he walked at one time amongst them. He had fellowship with Adam and Eve, but they messed it up for us by eating the forbidden fruit. God said to Adam, he said, "You can eat of any tree in the garden, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." And lo and behold, the serpent, the devil, comes to the woman in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and tempts her to disobey God, to eat the forbidden fruit. So she was tempted. She fell for the temptation. She ate the fruit. She gave some to her husband. And at that point, sin entered the world. There was now a separation between God and his humanity. They were banished from the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:23. Their disobedience in eating the fruit that God told them not to eat of broke their relationship with God. You know, that sweet fellowship and friendship between them and God was broken. But Jesus, the last Adam, the Prince of Peace, who came to this earth over 2,000 years ago, died on a cross, shed his blood, and that by faith in him, we could again have peace with God. Jesus came to restore the relationship with God that was broken as a result of Adam and Eve's disobedience. By his work on the cross, by his shedding of his blood, by our faith and trust in him, guess what? We can have that friendship, that fellowship with God again. And tonight, if you've got Jesus Christ in your life, guess what? You've got friendship with God. If you don't have Jesus in your life, tonight at the end of the service, you'll have the opportunity to put your faith in Jesus. Maybe at some time you put your faith in Jesus, but maybe you slipped away from Jesus. Tonight you'll also have the opportunity to recommit your life to Jesus Christ so that you could have that sweet fellowship, that sweet friendship with God, creator of heaven and earth, so that you can have peace with God. And so Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, came to bring peace with God. Amen?
Amen.
The peace of God. The Prince of Peace who brings peace with God brings the internal peace of God as a result. If you've got peace with God as a result of your faith in Jesus, then internally you should have the peace of God. What do I mean by that? All right. So, let's say that you're going through a storm in your life right now. I don't know what storm you might be going through in your life right now. Maybe it was a bad medical diagnosis. Maybe you received news of a job loss. Maybe you lost some money. Maybe you lost a relationship. And so your life is in a stormy place right now. And your boat, your life, is being rocked back and forth. You know, you can have the peace of God in the middle of that storm, the peace of God which surpasses any human understanding. Remember, Jesus and his disciples were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And as they were sailing along, what occurred? A storm. And that boat was being rocked back and forth. But Jesus was sleeping like a baby in the back of the boat in peace. Why? Because he knew that God had their back. He knew that God was faithful. He knew that God would never leave them nor forsake them. He knew that all he had to do was speak to the storm, which he did. He said, "Peace be still," and the storm died down. You know, the disciples were struck with fear, but Jesus had peace in the back of the boat. I'm here to ask you tonight, who is in your boat, your life? If Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, ruling and reigning on the throne of your heart, then Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is in your boat. He is in your life. Though it may be stormy on the outside, you got the bad medical report, you had a job loss, somebody left you, and you're full of anxiety and worry is wanting to strike you right now, and your boat, your life is rocking back and forth, remember who is in the boat with you. It's Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. If you put your faith in him, the Prince of Peace lives on the inside of you. He is in your life. You can rest assured that Jesus has got your back. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can trust in that. If you remember that he will never leave you, never forsake you, he has got your back, he is faithful, you can have peace on the inside in the middle of the storm. You know, he said to the, let's see if we can find this in John, chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So if you're going through a storm tonight, maybe you've done this in the past, maybe you're not doing it now, maybe you've turned to some addiction, maybe alcohol, to try to drown out your sorrows. I'm here to tell you tonight, that's the way the world says that you need to get your peace, but not Jesus. If you're going through a storm in your life tonight, all you need to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus and just know deep down on the inside that he has got you in the palm of his hand. Your boat, your life is not going to tip. It will not end in tragedy and drowning. You will come through it. God is faithful and God can do a miracle in your life because the Prince of Peace is in the boat. He's in your life. Is that good news here tonight? So if you've got peace with God by faith in Jesus, you can also have the internal peace of God in the middle of the storm that you're going through tonight. And finally, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, came to bring peace between human beings. He came to bring peace between humanity. And you know, we've heard so many messages on forgiveness. And I've preached some, and you've heard them. And the Word of God commands us to forgive our offenders, right? And maybe it's somebody that down-talked you at one time or stole from you, took something from you, and you were offended. That person is your offender, and the Word of God commands us that we need to walk in forgiveness towards the offender, right? We need to release that person of the debt that we feel that they owe us. We need to release that person of even the apology that we feel that they owe us. And Scripture, yes, does command it. But how about putting ourselves in the shoes of the offender? We don't hear that many messages about that, right? I'm speaking to us tonight. I'm speaking to myself. And we all need to hear this. How about putting ourselves in the shoes of the offender? Realizing that at times in our lives, we not have only been the offended, but we have also been the offender. Right? Maybe you attack somebody's character to their face. Maybe you call them a liar, a thief. I don't know what it is. Maybe it was a spouse that you had, and maybe you verbally assaulted her or physically assaulted her. And you know that you've hurt this person. You know that you've offended that person. Maybe you gossiped about a coworker to an employer and somewhat damaged that person's reputation in the eyes of the boss. You know, we got to put ourselves in the shoes of the offender, because there's been times in our lives where we have done the offending, where we have hurt somebody else. But the Prince of Peace has something to say about this in his famous Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 5. The Prince of Peace came to bring peace with God. He came to bring the peace of God, the peace of God that surpasses any human understanding, that internal peace in the middle of the storm that you might be going through. But he also came to bring peace amongst men, peace amongst human beings. And so he talks about this in his famous sermon in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 26. He says this. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. You know, at that time they offered physical sacrifices. Today in 2023, we term it spiritual sacrifices. And one of the spiritual sacrifices that we practice as believers in Jesus Christ is prayer. So, let's say you're going to before the throne of God, praying to God, saying, God, I've got this need in my life. God, I believe that you are going to intervene in this area of my life. But as you're about to do that, you remember that someone has something against you, maybe because you offended them in something you said or did. So what does Jesus say to do? He says this. He says, leave your gift there in front of the altar. In other words, before you offer that spiritual sacrifice, before you offer up that prayer to God, first go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. For that spiritual sacrifice really is only acceptable and effective if you reconcile with the person that you've hurt. Maybe you've been praying to God about a certain thing in your life, and maybe it's like, man, it seems like my prayers are not getting to God. Is it possible that the reason for that is that there's maybe some stones unturned in your life? Maybe that you've offended somebody and haven't made it right? That's what Jesus says. He says, before you offer this sacrifice, before you offer this gift at the altar, today we call it a spiritual sacrifice, we'll say it's prayer. Before you do it, get it right with the person that you offended. I'm preaching to all of us, and I'm preaching to myself tonight. So how do you do it practically? You've got to humble yourself, right? You got to humble yourself and try to open up the lines of communication with that person that you've hurt. Apologize. You know, this might melt the offendee's heart to the point where you've got reconciliation and peace in that relationship. And so this is the advice that Jesus gives, the Prince of Peace gives in his Sermon on the Mount. And then he says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to the court. He's saying, settle it. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. And so, what is he saying? He's saying, you know, you've hurt somebody. Maybe you deeply wounded that person. Maybe you borrowed something from that person, be it money, and told them you'd pay it back within a month or a year or a couple, you know, within a month, and you never paid it back, and a year goes by, 2 years goes by, and you never paid that person back, and that person is hurt, that person is offended. He's saying, get it right with the person that you have hurt. Because if you don't, the situation could be escalated into a legal matter. And this is what Jesus Christ tells us to do. He came to bring peace amongst human beings. We are to forgive our offenders, but at the same time, if we know that we've offended or hurt somebody, we need to go to that person, try to open the lines of communication, humble ourselves, apologize, and make it right with them. Is that making sense here tonight? So this Christmas season, as we enter this Christmas season, we're 2 weeks away from exactly from Christmas Eve. Think about that person that God may be laying upon your heart. That person that you may have hurt, borrowed something from and never returned it. Maybe you slandered or attacked a person's character to their face. Maybe you gossiped behind their back and ruined their reputation with the boss. Whatever it might be. And that person knows, that person has something against you. That person knows that you know that you've done something wrong against them. Get it right with that person starting this Christmas season. Because the Prince of Peace has come to bring peace amongst men. Peace amongst human beings. I'm going to read you one illustration here tonight. Let's see. It's concerning restitution. It says, after Effie Marsh preached on restitution, a young man came to him and said, Pastor, you have put me in a bad fix. I have stolen from my employer, and I'm ashamed to tell him about it. You see, I'm a boat builder, and the man I work for is an unbeliever. I have often talked to him about Christ, but he only laughs at me. In my work, expensive copper nails are used because they won't rust in water. I've been taking some of them home for a boat I am building in my backyard. I'm afraid if I tell my boss what I've done and offer to pay for them, he'll think I'm a hypocrite and I'll never be able to reach him for Christ. Later, when the man saw the preacher again, he exclaimed, Pastor, I've settled the matter and I'm so relieved. What happened when you told your boss? Asked the minister. Oh, he looked at me intently and said, George, I've always thought you were a hypocrite, but now I'm not so sure. Maybe there's something to your Christianity after all. Any religion that makes a man admit he's been stealing a few copper nails and offer to settle for them must be worth having. Right? So possibly this employer was offended by him at some point in the past, but he made it right with him, and at least he was honest about the situation. He restored and that relationship, they reconcile that broken relationship, and God wants to do it for you. Maybe, as I said, maybe it's somebody who has offended you deeply, hurt you by something they said or done, borrowed from you, and you're just so irate, and you're thinking tonight, man, the least that person owes me. They don't have to give that thing back, but the least they owe me is an apology. You also got to release that person of the apology you feel that they owe you. It's forgiveness, releasing the person of that debt and thinking this season about that person that you might have irritated, hurt, offended. Think about that person and try to get it right. Because Jesus said, you know what? You don't want the situation to escalate into something worse. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 26. So Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, came to bring what? He came to bring peace with God. And if you've got peace with God by God's forgiveness of your sins, you've got the peace of God, right? The peace of God, the internal peace of God inside your life. Regardless of the storm that's going on outside of your life, your boat might be being rocked, but you can have the peace of God that surpasses any human understanding on the inside because the Prince of Peace lives right there in your heart. Knowing that He's got your back. Knowing that this thing, this storm, this news is not going to end in tragedy. Because He is the miracle worker and He can do a miracle in your life. You don't have to turn to alcohol and to drugs. Turn to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Amen.
And finally, the Prince of Peace came to bring peace between men. Peace between humanity. You and somebody else. As I said just a few minutes ago, we've heard many messages about forgiving our offender, and I talked about that a little bit tonight, and yes, we must do that. But put yourself, we need to put ourselves in the shoes of the offender and think, you know what? I'm about to offer God the spiritual sacrifice of prayer. And I think I've irritated this person. I think I've hurt this person. Let me go and talk with this person. Let me humble myself. Let me apologize. Let me open the lines of communication and humble myself and apologize. And as you do that, that person's heart is melted. And reconciliation can happen, and you can come back into peace with that human being. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes.
The Prince of Peace, the Son that was born, Isaiah 9:6, over 2,000 years ago, is the King of Peace. He's come to bring peace in so many ways. Most importantly, peace with God. And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, you know what? I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So for sure, I don't have peace with God. But tonight, I want to know that I've got peace with God. I want to know that I've got sweet friendship and fellowship with God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, but tonight you want to do so for the first time, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If that's you here tonight, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Yeah, it doesn't matter what somebody next to you thinks. It's only what God thinks about you that really matters. All right? Or maybe you accepted Jesus at some point in the past, and maybe you got upset with somebody. Maybe you got upset with God, and you've slipped away from Jesus. So you're out of relationship with Jesus Christ. That fellowship, that friendship with God, again, has been kind of broken. And so tonight, as you were listening, you thought, you know what? I need to recommit my life to Jesus Christ. I need to rededicate, re-give my life back to Him. If that's you here tonight, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. I see a lot of hands out there. All right. Those raising your hands, stand up tonight. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All right. Recommitting your life to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, recommitting your life to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that really matters. So if you want to re-give your life back to Jesus, raise your hands. And if God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit and telling you you need to give your life back to my Son, Jesus Christ, then stand up along with them. Okay, those standing up, come to the altar. Come to the altar tonight. All right. Or anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else want to re-give your life back to Jesus so that you could have peace with God, fellowship with God, friendship again with God? All right. All right, this is awesome. All right, those standing up here tonight, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. And tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. Jesus, I love you. I recommit my life to you. I give it back to you. I put my entire life in the palm of your hands. And I thank you that as a result, I've got peace with God, relationship with God, friendship again with God. And God, Jesus, I thank you that as a result of this peace with God that I have, I've also got the peace of God. On the inside, I thank you, Jesus, for your peace. In the middle of the hard time I may be going through or will go through. And Jesus, I thank you that I've got peace with other human beings. In Jesus' name, give me the strength to follow you the rest of the days of my life on this earth. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you in heaven, face to face, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Welcome back to God's family. And for those of you that came forward tonight, there are certain spiritual disciplines to remain close to Christ. Continue going to church services. Get into the Word of God on a consistent basis. Find good, solid Christian friends. Pray to God. Amen? Amen. So remember, though Christmas is beautiful, I think it's a beautiful season, and maybe you believe it's a beautiful season, which it is. We need to remember the real reason for the Christmas season. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, you guys have a wonderful night and a very Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year. May God richly bless you. All right. Brother, did you want to come up?
Yeah, that's going to be hard to follow. You know that everyone.